Now we're holding on from Aleph Amud Beis, about the middle of the wide lines, 12 lines from the bottom. We discussed yesterday the question of whether an Eved Ivri who is a Kohen is allowed to have relations with a Shivcha Knanis like any other Eved Ivri would, or is it maybe different for a Kohen because he has special mitzvahs, and that intersected with the question of whether an Eved Ivri Kohen could have his ear pierced. Because it would make him a Baal Mum. So we said as far as the Shifra Knanis, Rab held yes, Shmuel held no. As far as the piercing his ear, we said the Chachamim say no because it'll make him a Baal Mum. Yudon Beribi says yes because it's not going to make him a Baal Mum. It's being done in the ear lobe rather than in the cartilage of the ear. And the Gemara put those two together by saying that according to Shmuel, of necessity, it has to be that he's mutter in a shivcha knanis. How could Shmuel say that he's also, if he was also, there'd be no talk about doing ritzia anyhow, because he has to be able to say, ahavti es adoni, es ishti ves vane, which means that he loves his shivcha knanis wife and doesn't want to separate from her. We mentioned yesterday, the shita lo noidalami says maybe in fact that consideration is why Yudan Beribi says maybe in fact you could put those two things together and say that because of that is so in the end there is no ritzia, not just because it doesn't create a mum, but because there's no consideration of ritzia in the first place. So now the Gemara is going to digress from that, since we're asking about a shivcha knanis, which is an exception. So now the Gemara is going to digress a little bit and talk about the matter of another case where the Torah makes an exception and allows a Yid to have relations with a Goyter, or may or may not allow it, as we'll see in a minute, namely the case of the Yafas Toyer. Torah tells us at the beginning of Parashas Kisetzik, Kisetzik al-Mochama al-Evecha, you find a woman in Yafas Toyer, you desire her, then you bring her to your house, she goes through the whole process over there, and she becomes your wife. So let's talk about that. Iboilahu, Koyan Ma'al B'Yafas Toyer. Would a Koyan, if he's serving in the army, and B'chal, whether a Koyan serves in the army is a whole other discussion, but anyway, if a Koyan is serving in the army, would he be allowed to take a Yafas Toyer? Would we say Chidushu? After all, the whole concept that Yafas Toyer should be Mutter is a Chidush, because normally should be Osir. Now, on what grounds should be Osir? There's a good deal of discussion among Rishonim. When it comes to marrying a Goyter, there's an Issur in the Torah. Well, it's Chatin Bam, Yalmacholikus, which we'll have later on in the Masechta, whether the Raisa applies to all nations or only the seven nations of Canaan. But when they're not Isgayer, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that only much later the Beis Din Shel Hashmonaim made rules against that and made a Gzeira against that. Midaraisa, it would be Mutter. So what exactly do we mean over here that it would be also? It's a few different answers. Among them, that the Gemara is going to say soon, it's allowed even if she's an Ashes Ish, which normally that would be also then to have relations with her because she's an Ashes Ish of a Goy, and even Goyish marriages are recognized in Halacha, but here the Torah is making an exception and allowing it. Anyway, so once you say it's a chidush, loishna koyin, loishna Yisrael, maybe there's no difference between a koyin and a Yisrael. Oidum, a shiny koyinim, hoy over riba behem mitzvahs yiseris. Maybe koyinim are different because the Torah puts on them more mitzvahs as far as their marriages than Yisraelim have, where, like we said yesterday, they can't marry a grusha or a chalala, etc. So maybe therefore they're also, maybe therefore Yafas Torah is off limits to them as well. So it's machlokes. Rav am mutter, Shmuel am also. So Rav says the Kohen will be allowed to. Shmuel says not. So the Gemara points out the bia rishoyne de kol amal et pligi de shari. Now, when it comes to the first bia, the first time he has relations with her, that everybody will agree, even Rav, that it is mutter. Even Shmuel will agree it's mutter. The loy diber torah ela kineged yetzahara. After all, the whole reason why the Torah allowed the Yafas Torah is, it's speaking against the Yetzer Hara, as the Gemara is soon going to bring a Braisa that spells that out. In other words, Hashem is saying, effectively, look, I understand, you know, you're a soldier in war, you have less inhibition than you usually would. If I'm not mater you to do this, then you're just going to go and do it for Isser. So instead, I'll give you a way of Heter to do it. So therefore, you could argue that even for a Kohen, even though he has mitzvahs Yiseiris, the fact is he still has a Yetzer Hara, and therefore the Torah has to give him that out. So then you would say, so it would be mutter to a kohen. He pligi would be a shnia. The question would be as far as the second bia or later, where he's already calmed down. Rav am mutter, Shmuel am aser. That's where Rav will say that's aser, that it's mutter, and Shmuel will say it's aser. Rav am mutter, hayov ishtar ya ishtim. Rav will say, look, once she's already mutter the first time, and you're making an exception, then the exception carries over to later on. Again, the fact that the Torah is making an exception b'chlal, that normally should be off limits to you anyhow, and now the Torah is being matuit to you, so the exception is being made for Yisrael. Once you do, then the exception carries over to a Kohen as well, and we don't say mitzvah siseris. Or Shmuel am also dehachazyalei giyoris. Shmuel says, no, she can't be mutter to him, because after all, she's a giyoris. After, only the first bia is allowed, so we're going to discuss soon the question, the first bia, does it take place before or after she's a giyoris? We'll get to that point soon in the Gemara, she's a giyoris, the giyoris, the kohen lechazia, and a giyoris is not suitable to marry a kohen, because the Torah tells us that a zoyna is not allowed to marry a kohen, and that includes a giyoris. So as much as you may have, in other words, Tosfos a little further on explains that the difference is, the first time she was a goita, that's one issur. Now she's a giyoris, that's a different issur. That issur was never, you can never say that issur was kiven shehutra hutra, kiven ishtarya. You can't say once it was mutter, then hoyov ishtarya ishtari. You can't say that, because this is a different issur. Another point, what it is Rashi and Tosfos have an argument a little further in the Gemara. What is the story with the Yafas Torah? Rashi learns that it doesn't mean you're allowed to have relations with her as a goita. It means, and he explains a piece of Gemara a little bit further, to mean that you have to first go through the whole procedure. She sits for a month over there and cries with her hair undone, and not wearing her beautiful clothing and so on and so forth. And then if she agrees that she wants, if she's made peace with the situation, then you wait and then you megayer her, you wait another 2 months and then you marry her. Rashi learns that only at that point are you allowed to first have relations with her. Tosfos, on the other hand, has many, many questions on Rashi. Among them, well, how is that supposed to appease the guy's Yetzihara? If the whole point is the Torah is being mapped to the Yafas Torah, because otherwise he's just going to do it in a way that's also, as the Gemara is going to say soon, then how is the fact that he's going to have to wait 3 months before he has relations with her, how is that going to calm his Yetzihara down? And Tosfos has a lot of other questions on Rashi from this Gemara and from Gemaras in Sanhedrin and so on and so forth. And Tosfos ends up saying that no, what it means is actually he is allowed to have relations with her the one time when she's a goita. Still as a goita. Afterwards, if he wants to continue having relations with her, then he has to go through the whole procedure that it explains in the psukim over there with her sitting and crying for a month and so on and so forth.
So that's the thing.
The Gemara's going to mention soon. We're going to get to that soon. And Rashi learns it means that during the whole time, he's not allowed to have relations with her till later. Tosfos learns that it means he's allowed the one time. The Rambam holds similarly and says that he's allowed the one time. Anyway, the point is, so if we say that, then you have very easily that you see, as again, we're saying there's two different issurim. First, there's the issur of a goita, or an eshesesh, or whatever. And now, separately, you have the issur of a giyoris for a kohen. On the other hand, according to Rashi's point of view, the Ritva says it's not really a true geirus. A true geirus would be with her consent. Here, it's being done against her will. So you have the chiddush and the Torah that it's mutter, but you would say only be a rishonah because l'dibur Torah l'kenei yetzihara, but not after that because it's a geirus, but it's a yes to begin with. Even the be a rishonah was after geirus, so it is the same issue in both cases. But fine, l'dibur Torah l'kenei yetzihara, and therefore it allows him the one time, but not necessarily after that. So that would be the machlokas then, where Shmuel would say that the second time and onward would be usur, only the first one would be mutter.
What's what you mentioned earlier that. That the Torah does recognize that marriage of a goita,
that's the thing. We're saying that there's an exception, even though the Torah recognizes the marriage of a goita, nevertheless, when she's captured as a Yafas Torah, that undoes that and allows you to marry her and have relations.
Okay, separates her marriage.
Except, yeah. Okay. So that's one way of understanding the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. So again, this first way would be they both agree you are allowed via Rishonah, even a Kohen. The question is via Shnia. Rav will say yes and Shmuel will say no. Ikadam, the others say no, the other way around. But via Shnia, Kula Amalek Pligidasira. The second via, everybody will agree she's also to a Kohen, the Habila Giyurus, because at that point she's a Giyurus. Ki Pligi, the machlokas would only be via Rishonah. Are they even allowed to have the first bia when he's a Kohen? Rav amamotur dala yibra Torah elekinur yetzahara. So Rav is going to say it's mutter because the Torah is only saying it in order to calm down his yetzahara, and a Kohen has that yetzahara too. Or Shmuel amamotur, Shmuel will say no because he says, kol heicha de karina ba v'habesa al tech besecha. Only when there could apply what continues in the Torah, you will bring her into your house, etc. And after all, the whole month after the whole procedure, she will become your wife. Bar Mukafalchon Bey. Then Karina Bey Vredesa Bashiria. Only then does the beginning of it apply that you'll find in the captivity and Eishes Yifasera. Kol Heicha Bele Karina Bey Vavesa Al Tech Beisecha. But Shmuel will say, where you don't have that Vavesa Al Tech Beisecha, it's impossible to marry her because you're a Kohen and she's a Geyurus. Loi Karina Bey Vredesa Bashiria. Then we're not going to apply the first part of Vredesa Bashiria, and therefore, according to this version of Shmuel, it'll be usher even the first time for a Kohen. In Dine Isser V'Heter, the halacha is usually like Rav, and so it is over here in the Rambam Paskins, that like Rav, that even a Kohen is allowed via Rishona, because lo dibur Torah lekan
early etzahara. That's only if he's at the actual war.
If he's at the actual war,
of course, right. War probably depends if it's Mechamus
Havim. Yeah, it depends whether it's Mechamus Havim or Mechamus Rishos, whatever. Tosfos actually points out that when it comes to what we discussed before about a Kohen with a Shivcha, there we're not distinguishing between Bia Rishona and Shnia. Why over here would we be distinguishing and saying that even according to Rav, we would be saying Bia Shnia is Osir? So Tosfos says, because over there, what you have is the whole concept is, why is a Shivcha Osir Lo Yia Kodesh? And that's an Isir which is equal by Kohenim and by Yisraelim. So once it was Mutter to Yisraelim, then it's Mutter to Kohenim as well. Here, the fact that it's mutter to Yisrael is not really as much of a chiddush, you know, and for a Kohen, it's a different issue that applies to him and not to Yisrael, so therefore we have reason to distinguish between Bia Rishona and Bia Shnia in a way that we wouldn't, when it comes to a Shivcha. What Tosfos is saying over here is that there's a lot of different achronim talk about different angles on what exactly Tosfos means by all of this. What distinction exactly Tosfos is making? The Maharam points out one possible meaning of what Tosfos says, that it has to be, therefore, once we slugged up Shmuel before and we showed a Kohen should be allowed with a Shifcha Knanis regardless, because otherwise, again, we said, how is it possible to even talk about piercing an ear? Once we do that, then it has to be Shmuel is going to allow even Bia Shnia. Otherwise, if Rav would say there also Bia Shnia is also, then how are you ever going to have that? He's going to say, I have Tias Adonius Ishti Ves Banai, because of one time he's going to have such a love for her. So therefore, we have to say that Bia Shnia and onward is Mutter as well. Whereas in this version, we're saying when it comes to a Yifas Toyar, even Rav is allowing Kohen only the one time. And that's the difference because it's the basis of the Issur. The basis of the Issur by a Shivcha is equal by Kohenim and by Yisraelim, whereas the basis of the Issur here is different in each case because one is an Issur of a Goita and the other is an Issur of a Giyoras, which is specific to Kohenim. Worth mentioning, by the way, in this connection, first of all, a couple of things about this Lo Dibra Torah Elokan Yodi Yetzahara. I mean, where do we ever find such a thing? This is where Lo Dibra Torah Elokan Yodi Yetzahara. Conquer Yodi Yetzahara and have done with it. And in fact, there's a Sikha where the Rebbe talks about, essentially, that that's the deeper meaning behind it. Lo Dibra Torah Elokan Yodi Yetzahara. The Torah is telling you, oppose your Yetzahara. He says to Mohammed, Aloy Vecha, go to war. Be above your enemies, v'shavisa shivya, take their captives, don't allow yourself to get enmeshed in the Yetzirah, just the opposite, overcome it. But at least on the simple level, you do have this concept in Fast Torah. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh has on the Pesukim a very interesting explanation of it. He says, sometimes you have neshamas. Now we know the neshama of a ger was originally born as they're destined to be a ger. That's why the Gemara always uses the expression gerushin is gair. Usually they become gerim on their own. Sometimes you have a neshama that's so deeply embedded in klippus that you can't extract it using the normal process. And he gives an example, the whole story with Shem and Dina. where there were sparks of Kedusha in Shem, but they couldn't be gotten out using the normal way, and therefore there had to be the whole story of a dinner to extract those, and then what's left is just a clipper that can be discarded and destroyed, which is why Shem is killed. So he says in the same vein over here, when you see the Ifas Toya, what you're really seeing is she has a connection to your neshama. Your neshama needs yours to schlep it out from the clippers. Therefore, that's why the Eibishter made it that you have a desire for her. So Lodibra Torah Lekanar Yetzahara, in the sense, the Yetzahara thinks, good, I have a chance to be Machshel Yid in marrying a Goita. And meanwhile, the Yetzahara doesn't realize that actually this is a stratagem to get her out of the klippas and bring her into Das Yisrael in a way that wouldn't have been possible in the normal way.
Little problem.
The fact is, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that you're not supposed to marry Ifas Toya and it can result in what happens afterwards. Yeah, you can have a Ben Sotter murder from it, all fine, but nevertheless, the fact is that it could happen that the neshama itself is a good neshama that was extracted. What happens after that is another question.
Was one of the Tanayim said that he lived maybe 3-4 months ago. Maybe it was in Seifu that he ended up marrying this rich woman.
Yeah. We had Rabbi Akiva, for example, Tunis Rufus' wife. Yeah, that's a different case because she became a Giyuris voluntarily, but yeah.
Skip over the
closest. Yeah, here. Okay, we'll go see. Yeah, go see. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanim. So now we learn in a Braisa. Let's talk about some more of the dinim of Yifas Toya. The Braisa is going to go through the Pasuk and darshan it phrase by phrase. First, the Pasuk says, V'ra'isa b'shivya, you see in the captivity. So that means b'shas shivya, that means specifically at the time of captivity, meaning to begin with, the first time you laid eyes on her, you have a desire for her, as opposed to, in other words, Rashi says, let's say, for example, you originally captured her as a slave woman or whatever, later on, nothing ain't above, later on you say, you know what, she's beautiful, then you don't have the heter of your fastaya. When it continues, Aishas, when it says Aishas, means Vafilu Aishas Ish, meaning even if she's an Aishas Ish, even though she was married to a goy. Now, Tosfos points out, we said before that Torah does recognize goyish marriages only to a limited extent. We do say one of those Shev Mitzvos Nenayach is not to commit adultery, but for a yid to have relations with a goyter is not necessarily being over on that. However, it would be over on the Esser, where it says, V'dovak v'ishtoi v'lei v'eshes kaveira, that a man is only supposed to be with his own wife, not somebody else's wife. But here we're saying that nevertheless, the Torah is making her mutter in this particular case. One point is, and Rashi mentions on the Psukim over there where it says that she had to take off her dress and put on different clothes. Rashi makes a point over there from Sifri that the Goyim would send their wives and daughters to war beautifully dressed and made up in order to seduce the Jews. So already she's shown that her marriage is not particularly important to her if she's appearing like that. So yeah. Anyway, Yifas Toya, the Pasuk continues, a beautiful woman. That means like we said before, the Torah only speaks of opposing the Yetzirah. In other words, usually, why would it be that you're attracted to her is because she's beautiful. And the point is, in other words, it's not something the Torah is eager to be matter, it's really only reluctant. Better that Jews should eat the meat of animals that are about to die and then are shechted, even though Rashi points out from other Gemaras, it's not the best thing to do. We find, for example, that Yechezkel said on himself that he doesn't do that. Nevertheless, it's disgusting. Nevertheless, it is technically mutter. Rather than eating them after they already die, which is an outright issue. So the same way, like the Torah is kind of being matter over here, the lesser Isser, in order that you don't get from it a greater Isser instead. Next, the plus continues, v'hashata, you desire, that means, even if she's not beautiful, as long as you have, since the plus said earlier, you fast her, you would think maybe it only applies if she's objectively beautiful. No, the key thing is that you desire her. When it says, you desire in her, means not her and another woman. You can't take two Yifas Toya. Then when it says v'lakachta, it says you take, that means l'kuchen, yesh l'chaba, you're taking her is considered a marriage. So again, and Rashi says that means, in other words, even though the Gedus is against her will, nevertheless it still takes. And then there's a few different explanations among Rishonim. One of them is the Ritva, who explains Rashi that way, that it means normally a gerus against somebody's will is not valid, but here it is. Other Mephoshim make a point also that it means, for example, Me'iri makes a point, for example, that nobody else would be allowed to steal her away from you. That would be considered like taking an Eishes Ish. When it says L'chala Isha, it says to you as a wife, that means Shalo Yikach Shtei Noshim Achas Lo V'Achas La'Aviv Achas Lo V'Achas L'Vnoi. He can't, for example, capture two women and designate one's going to be for himself and the other one for his father, or one for him and one for his son. Tosfos doesn't like the Gersa Shalo Yikach Shtei Noshim. Of course you're not allowed to take two. You wouldn't be allowed to take one for your father or your brother either, or your son either. So rather, the Gersa Tosfos says should be you're only allowed to take her for yourself. You can't capture your fastoya for somebody else. Anyway, and the last one, Bahavesa, when it says you should bring her Malamet Shalo Yochotsena Bamochama, that teaches her that he's not allowed to force her in the battle. Now here you have Rashi and Tosfos. Here you have the Machlokas. What does it mean? Rashi learns, and Rashi just says Lo Vayaleha, not to have relations with her during the battle, which means, in other words, Tosfos says Rashi seems to be implying, like we said before, it's also to even have relations with her until the battle is over and everything that it says in the Pesukim has been accomplished. Here is where Tosfos has the problem with Rashi, a lot of problems with Rashi that doesn't seem to fit with what the Gemara is saying over here. How is that Dibur Torah looking at Yitzhak Hara? Why are we calling it Tmusis Shvotas if she became a Gioras first and the relations with her are completely mutter, and so on and so forth, and therefore Tosfos learns, and the Rambam also learns, that no, it means the first relations are allowed with her while she's still 100% goita. And nevertheless, the Torah is making an exception, because Lo Dibur Torah looking at Yitzhara. To answer Rashi, again, you have the Ritva makes a point that Rashi would be saying, even though the Gerus is not completely with her consent, nevertheless it still takes, even though a Gerus normally wouldn't work like that. Okay. Now let's get back to the matter of the Ritzia, of the piercing of the ear of the Eved, which we started talking about yesterday. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Im Omer Yoimar, the Pasuk says, if say he will say, that means actually Yoimar the Yishna means he has to repeat the words Ahavti Asadoni, etc. Omer B'Tchilas Sheish, like Omer B'Sof Sheish, if he says it only at the beginning of the 6 years and not at the end, Einen Nirtza, then he does not get his ears pierced. Shenema Loi Eitze Chavshi, he says, I will not go out free, implying, actually, Yom B'Shas Yitzir, you're talking about he's about to go out free, and now he's saying, I don't want. On the other hand, Omer B'Sof Sheish, like Omer B'Tchilas Sheish, but if he said it at the end of the 6 years and not at the beginning, also Einen Nirtza. Then he also wouldn't be have his ear pierced. Shenema loy omer v'seif sheish v'omer tchilas sheish einu nirtza. Shenema im omer yoyma eved. It has to be if the slave says he says, meaning actually yoyma kshu eved. He has to say it while he's still an eved. So if he says it only at the end of the 6 years, he's already no longer an eved. The time has expired, so he has to say it before the 6 years are up. Which actually now, so it comes out, we're saying he has to say it twice, and we're saying he has to say the Tchilas of a Shirt of a Soif. The Rosh actually learns, the Tosfos Rosh, it means altogether he would have to say it four times, two at the beginning, or two, the Gemara is going to explain soon what it means at the beginning, how can he say at the beginning, Ahavti Asadoni, when he doesn't have them yet, and what does it mean in the end, we'll discuss that soon, but anyway, the Tosfos Rosh learns that it would actually have to say it four times altogether. On the other hand, many other Mephoshim learn that not, he only has to say it twice, that's how the Rambam Paskins.
Why
four times? Because the Rosh would say twice at the beginning, or whatever the beginning as we're going to define it, and then twice at the end, and maybe right after the other, maybe shortly after one another, whatever.
And they both agree you can say before beginning.
Everybody agrees that he has to say it at the beginning, which we're going to define soon what the beginning means. Doesn't mean the beginning of the 6 years. We'll talk about soon. And everybody agrees he has to say it at the end. But what do we mean by the beginning and the end? We'll talk about soon. The point is, if you were to just say it twice at the beginning or twice at the end, it still wouldn't work. So the Rosh understands, you have to say it four times. Most other Mephoshim understand that no, what it means is once at the beginning and once at the end. So Omamar, so let's analyze, where the master said, let's analyze this Braisa. If he said at the beginning of the 6 years and not at the end, so that he doesn't get his ear pierced, as the pasuk says, I won't go free, implying that he's about to go free and he doesn't want to. So the question is, why do you need to mention that pasuk? Don't you have a better reason why, if he said it earlier, if he said it at the beginning of the 6 years, and at this point, the Gemara assumes that the Tchilas Sheish means the beginning of 6 years. So, of course, for a different reason, it can't be that he's going to have his ear pierced. He has to be able to say, I love my master, I love my wife, meaning my Shifchah Knanis wife, and my children from her. Veleka, at the beginning of the 6 years, he doesn't have that yet. The two, and also we have to ask, what does the Brais mean? If he said it's at the end of the 6 years, but not at the beginning, he also doesn't get his ear pierced. It says that he has to say it as however. Why? At the end of the 6 years, before the 6 years have quite expired, he's still an Eved. So what does the Brais mean? So the answer is Amar Rava, my b'tchilas sheish b'tchilas pruta achroina, or my b'soif sheish b'soif pruta achroina. It doesn't mean the beginning of the 6 years and the end of the 6 years. It means, and Rashi, by the way, takes out he had a girsa in front of him, loy kasha and kan, so Rashi probably also wouldn't have the my b'tchilas sheish or my b'soif sheish. Rava, in any case, Rava is explaining that when we say tchilas sheish means when we begin to get down to the last. Now, we talk about Girain Kesef, we talk about he sold for X amount of money, and we prorated over the time that he was working, and over time, we say that amount diminishes, and eventually it comes, he's worked off the entire purchase price, and that coincides with the end of the 6 years, because to begin with, we arranged his purchase price accordingly, and therefore, now he goes free. So now, when he's reaching the beginning of that last pruta, so then, that's when, that would be the first time that he says, I'll have the Esadoni. So in other words, we're talking about, so if he says it earlier than that, so if he says it earlier before the Purta Achrona, now fine, he already has an Isha Obanim, so he's able to say Ahavti Esadoni, but he only says it then, and not the Soif Sheish, after that last Purta started, then he's Einan Nirtza, because it has to be close to the time of Yitziah. When you have an entire Purta left, it's not considered close enough to the time of Yitziah yet.
But the read time is where
you
wait.
So they, yeah, so you have to time. So, on the other hand, if he says it only b'soif pruta achroina, but not b'tchilas pruta achroina, then not, because they have to have him omer yomer ha'eved, he has to say it when he's an eved, so if he says it only when the last pruta is about to be used up, you have less than a shava pruta, so therefore you can't really be considered an eved anymore, in the sense you have less than a pruta in general, and in Torah is not considered mum.
But the first time he said it could be the second year, right?
So what we're saying is it has to be there's a pruta left of his worth. The first time he says it. Now, you could have, he could be a very cheap Eved. He could be that his work is worth less than, is worth next to nothing. So then you would have, pruta could take a long time. On the other hand, you could have what the Gemara sometimes calls Eved Noter Magolius, that he's able to pierce pearls or do other really high, very expensive work like that. And then a pruta would be used up in a very short amount of time. But that's how it is. It has to be the beginning and the end of the last pruta, respectively. Or right.
Almost the same time.
Depends how long a pruta is. Actually, the Ritva learns that if he has an Isha Obanim, then it would be fine if he says the first time earlier. All it is the second time has to be timed at the time of pruta achron. Rashi brings another loshen that he found in the Gersois in front of him, which is that Omer Yomer again means he has to repeat it. Ha'eved means he has to say it when he's an Eved, and that if he says the Tchilas Sheish and not the Soif Sheish, then no, because it says him Omer Yomer, and if he says it the Soif Sheish and not the Tchilas Sheish, then not, then Lo Yetzei Chofshi. So in other words, it flips around the drushes on the last two. But Rashi has many questions on that. Omer Yomer already means he has to repeat it, so why do we need another drasha to say that he has to repeat it? If it means that he has to say it twice at the end of the 6 years, then it's not similar to the Reisha, because after all, why if he said it twice at the beginning, what basis do we have to say that Einan Nirtza? So Rashi prefers the Girsa that we have in front of us, which is from Omer Yomer, we're learning that he has to say it twice. From Ahav Ki Esadoni and from Lo Yetzei Chofshi, we're learning the timing of those two statements. Okay. Tana Rabbanim, we learn in a Braisa. Loy Isho Bonim, or Rabbi Ein Isho Bonim. If he has a wife and children, meaning the Shivcha Knanis and children, and his master does not, Ein Inir, so that he doesn't get his ear pierced, Shinema Kiahecha Ve'espe Secha. In Parashas Re'e, when the Torah repeats these mitzvahs, this mitzvah of Ritzia, it says he loves you and your household. So implying, in other words, you, the master, have to have a household, which means a wife, at least. Beis Ezer Isha.
You know the
things
that master has.
Yeah. Loy, Isho Ovanim, Loy Eini Isho Ovanim. On the other hand, if the master has and the slave doesn't, also Eini Nir, say he doesn't get his ear pierced, Shenemar Ahapti Es Adoni Es Ishti Ves Bonai, because he has to have that. He says, I love my master and my wife and my children.
So
that implies that it's referring to his Goyish wife, right. Shifa Knanis. Right, that's the point. In other words, we mean if he has a wife, if he has the Goyish, if he has the Shifa Knanis wife, versus if he doesn't. If he doesn't have one, if his master never assigned him one, then ain't a new seven. We can't pierce
him. Oh, he can't stay a slave unless he has.
Right.
That's.
Yeah.
It's a lacha.
Yeah. Another din, who oyhaves rabbi, the rabbi ain't a oyhavoy, ain't a new seven. If he loves his master, but his master doesn't love him, also he doesn't get his ear pierced. Shenema ki tov lo imach, because the pasuk says he has it good with you, implying that you like him. Rabbi oya revahu ein yehoya bas rabbi. On the other hand, if his master likes him, but he doesn't like his master, in which case he's staying on for other reasons, whether it's because of the shivcha and her children, whether it's because he's poor and he has nothing better to do, whatever it is. Also, ein yehoya said that he's not with pierced. Shenema ki ahevcha, because the pasuk says he loves you. If he loves his master and not the other way around, then you don't have ketov leimach. Rabbi, oh yeah, Rabbi, when Oyev is Rabbi, yeah. In the Nitzah Shnei Makiyah Evcha, the pasuk says he loves you. Who cholav Rabbi in the cholav? If he's sick and his master is not, in the Nitzah, he also can't have his ear pierced. Shnei Makiyah Evcha, the pasuk says he has it good with you, implying that he has it good, not that he's sick. Rabbi Chola, we're in a Chola, in a Nirtza, and if his master is sick and he's not, then also he's not Nirtza, Chenema Imoch, because the passage says with you, implying that they have to be on an equal level. So, Boyra, Bibi, Barabaya.
You need a slave when a person's sick, that's what you need.
Maybe, but the fact is, then that's not when his ear is pierced, then you kick him out after 6 years and that's that. Okay. So the boyer of Bibi Barabaya, Shneim Choven Mai. What if both of them are sick? Imcha Ba'inan Vahitka, do you need to fulfill what it says in the pasuk Imcha, and you have it, because they're both on equal level? Or Yomaki Toivla Imcha Ba'inan, or maybe the pasuk says you have to have it good with you, implying that you both have to have it good, Vahalekha, and here you don't have, so the Gemara says, take it. The Rambam Pastins, and in that case, ain't a Nirtza. But Pashkas, we're not gonna be Ritzaya and keep him on after Yovel unless we know for sure we can do it, not like this where it's a suck.
Either way, which a shikra is one thing, but if he decides I want to work for him because a regular worker is.
If he wants to work as a regular worker, fine, but then he's gonna be also in a shikra knan. Right. Yeah.
So the same shikra that he was looking until now.
It will be also to him, yeah. Okay. Tanan Abanim, we learned in a Braisa, and we learned this already the other day. Kitova Imach, another meaning of Kitova Imach means Imcha b'Maychal, Imcha b'Mishta. He has to be equal to you in food and in drink. Shalot tehei at oichal pas nakia. So you can't have that you, the master, are eating clean white bread, who oichal pas kibu, and he's going to eat pumpernickel bread. After Shosi Yain Yoshin, who Shosi Yain Chodesh, you're going to be drinking old wine, which is the good stuff, and he's drinking new wine, which is not. After Yoshin Agabi Muchin, will Yoshin Agabi Tevin, you're gonna be sleeping on stuffing on a comfortable bed, and he's gonna be sleeping on straw. Mikanomu, based on this, the Chacham said, Palakoina Evet Ivri, the Koina Odin La'atme, a person acquires an Evet Ivri, he's in effect acquiring a master for himself, because Tosfos discussed the other day, if he has only one pillow, he has to give it to the Evet. He can't keep it for himself, because then he's being over on Kitov Vayimach. He can't not have either of them use it, that would mean Midas Zoim. So he winds up having to give it to the Evet.
I was
going to
ask you that. We looked a few days ago.
Yeah, we learned in the Gemara. There, the Gemara mentioned as an incidental thing. Here, we're going through the remaining dinim of an Eved Ivri, so we're mentioning this. Turn around, Bonham. We learn in a Braisa. The pasuk says, "V'yotzame imach." He goes out from with you. Hu uvanav imay. He and his sons with him. The context of that pasuk is talking about where a person sold himself as an Eved. So he goes out together with his sons. He may have been sold, whoever sold the sons and daughters that we say they're going out. From here we learn that the master is obligated to support his children while the father is working as an Eved. And now the pasuk is saying they go out from that, and now they don't. And now he doesn't have that chiyuv anymore. Yeah. An interesting point, by the way, that Mephoshim bring up is the whole concept that a husband has to support his wife and that a father has to support his children itself is only midrabban and we learned in ksuvos. So how is the Torah now imposing that as a chiyuv on the master? So in fact, the Shlomo Kluger and his kiddushim brings that maybe from here you have a proof that it's not daraisa, that it's not midrabban. Maybe at least the requirement for a husband to support his wife is daraisa. There are Rishonim who learn that the Rashba and other Rishonim learn that no, it is Dirabbanan, but what the Torah means is it's true technically in a Torah a man doesn't have to support his wife and children, but practically speaking any normal person does. So the Torah is putting that responsibility on the other. Now, there's an interesting in Chelik Vav, in the back of Chelik Vav and Parshas Mishpatim, there's a whole exchange of letters between the Rebbe and Rebbe Menashe Klein, where they were going back and forth on this. The Rebbe says, I find it very difficult to understand that svara of the Ramban and the Rashba and so forth. When do we have such a thing that there's something is not a chiyuv min haTorah? It's only the Rabbanan, but the Torah is saying that a person would be a mensch and do it. Where do you ever find such a svara? And then Rebbe Menashe writes back to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe writes back to him, and you have a whole exchange over there going and then being mafalful in and out on this. That would mean, for example, he has to give her enough. We learned in Ksubas. It can mean, for example, he has to give her the bare minimum just so she doesn't starve. The fact that he has to give her certain amounts that we learned in Ksubas, that might be only Dirabon.
Even children up to certain ages.
So no, it's also not Daradai. So he's learned over there that if he doesn't want to support them until age 6, we can't actually force him. We maybe put social pressure on him. We announce he's worse than a raven who doesn't support his children and so forth, but we don't have a basis to actually be mechayev him to do it. So yeah. And kayotze v'davar ata oimer, you have a similar kind of thing when it comes to an Eved Ivri who was sold by Beis Din. In ba'al ishohu, the pasuk says if he's married, v'yotze ishto imoy, his wife goes out with him. You have the same question. Amar Rav Shimon imhu nimker ishtei minim keres, when was his wife sold that she would go out? Same thing. The Tan Shadavit chayev b'mzonis ishtoi. From here we learn that his master is obligated to support his wife. Now why do we need that drosha in both cases? Utzricha. We need it. If we were told only about his sons, you would say, you know why? The master has to support them. They're little kids. They can't support themselves. So therefore the master has to support them. She could support herself. She could just as well work and then eat. Maybe Taka, she has to go and get a job in order to support herself. So therefore we're saying no. On the other hand, if we mention only the wife, you would say, it's not normal for a woman to go and beg for tzedakah, to go and begging around the door. It's not sneistic. Ava bonav de duchayu lahaduri, but sons where they could go and beg for tzedakah, emaloi, maybe the master is not chayav, come out at tzricha, so therefore we need to be told in both cases that he needs to.
Now this isha after 6 years. Not considered a wife.
No. So the Shifcha Knanis is not considered. Right. Here we're talking about a Jewish wife. The Shifcha Knanis, yeah. She was never his wife in the first place. Just the Torah made the Torah. No, she doesn't. No, she remains a Shifcha Knanis and her children. No. In fact, the Rambam Foshim will explain that an Eved Ivri is mutter to her, where every other Yid is also, is meant to bring home to him how far he's fallen. He stole, or he was over on Shvius, as we learned the other day in the Gemara or whatever, and therefore he's lost so much of his Kedusha of a Yid that he's even allowed a Shifcha Knanis, which wouldn't be allowed normally to anybody else. So that's meant to drive home to him how far he's fallen, that he should improve himself.
And again, a Shifcha Knanis doesn't look at himself to go.
So that's what we talked about the other day in the Gemara. We said the halacha is like the chachamim, that yeah, it doesn't work if he sells himself, only if he's sold by Beis Din. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanan Abanan. Let's talk about the piercing itself. The pasuk says, V'nasata ba'oznoi uvadelas. You put the matseya, whatever tool it is, into the ear and the door. So ilu nema oznoi vadelas. If the pasuk had said his ear in the door, if it didn't say be'oznoi, then you would think that you only pierce near his ear into the door. Yidko, it says on the side of it here, actually it says it should be yikdor, which is another word that means pierce. Whatever, both dokar and kodar means pierce. Anyway, you would think that it means you pierce his ear near the door, implying delas ein osne loy. Maybe you would be implying that you only make a hole in the door, not in the ear. So the Gemara interjects before we finish the Braisa, how could you possibly think that? The Oizen Loi, you would think possibly without the Pasuk telling you differently that you don't pierce the ear. Well, Ksiv, you have the Pasuk in Mishpatim, V'rotza Adonim is Ozne B'Matzeah. The master pierces his ear with an awl. So it's very clear that the ear itself is pierced. You don't need another Pasuk to tell us. Ela, no. What the Braisa means is, Ha'yisi Omi Yutze'en El Ozen Me'avroi. Maybe it means he should pierce his ear someplace else, not by the door. Then afterwards, you should place the pierced ear on the door, and then start piercing through the door on the other side, opposite the ear. So maybe you do like that. No, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Ba'ozne uvadelus," into his ear and into the door. Means he puts the ear next to the door and he pierces through the ear, all the way through the ear, until he reaches to the door. Now, then the Braisa continues. When it says delus, when it says delus, the door, the word delus itself could imply whether the door is attached or whether it's not attached. You could have a detached door and you do it. No, Talmud Lomar, mezuzah. Therefore, the pasuk says in Mishpatim that you bring him to the door or to the mezuzah. Now, you don't actually do the piercing into the mezuzah. You do the piercing into the door. So the reason it mentions the mezuzah, the doorpost, is to teach you. Ma mezuzah ma'umad, just like the doorpost, is standing in place. Otherwise, it actually says it can't be called a mezuzah. The definition of a mezuzah, not mezuzah as in the scroll that we put up, but mezuzah as in the actual doorpost, the definition of a doorpost is it's standing up.
Mezuzah
means a doorpost. Yeah, we call the scroll a mezuzah because it's placed on that, but yeah. The same way the door also has to be standing up. An interesting point, by the way, that posts can point out from this is you learn from this that the definition of doorposts is they're standing upright. Therefore, for example, a trap door would be potter from mezuzah because the doorposts are not standing upright. Okay. So the Gemara says, now a little agadta on this subject. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, how you dorish as a mikra azeh, kimin choymer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would douch in this pasuk like a choymer. Now here and in other places in Shas, Rashi explains that a choymer is something that contains spices. Here Rashi translates as Sur Hamagolius, a bundle of not spices. Rashi says it could be a bundle of jewels, a bundle of pearls, or a bundle of spices. Choymer would mean a bundle. Elsewhere, Rashi says it means more like a button-shaped thing that contains perfume. Tosfos gives another explanation. That choymer means a maysa, means the action, and they bring from the oruch that in Arabic the shorosh ches memresh means action. I mean, like you ask somebody what are you doing, then you tell them machamroch. So therefore, kamin choymer means Rabbi Yochanan Zaka is doushening in accordance with the maysa that was done. Why Hashem is imposing this particular din? Manishtana oizen the kolivorim shabaguf. Why was the ear singled out from all the other parts of the body that dafka that one is pierced? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem in effect is saying, Oizen Sheshama Koli al Har Sinai, the ear that heard my voice on Har Sinai, B'Shar Shamarti Tili B'nei Yisrael Avodim, when I said B'nei Yisrael are my slaves, V'loy Avodim La'Avodim, they should not be slaves to other slaves, one Yid should not be a slave to another one, V'holach Zevakona Odom La'atzmai, and this guy went and got himself a master, therefore he deserves to have his ear dafka pierced, because the ear failed to absorb what he was supposed to.
This only makes sense if he sold himself.
So one second. So Fakir, if he's sold by Beis Din, then if he's sold by Beis Din, it means he stole and he caused that he gets an Odin La'atzmai, and not only that he wants to stay on beyond 6 years. The Cheshek Shloimer, of Shloimer Kluger, points out that if the halacha is, he's not near to when Moshe La'atzmai, because really, as long as he's able to go out the gira in kesef, as long as he's able to pay his way out, and that's Baal Korcha, the Odin doesn't even have to agree to it, as we learned earlier in the Gemara, then you can't really call him that he's Koina Odin La'atzmai. Only when he's getting his ear pierced, then there's no gira in kesef, only then can we really say, now he's really Koina Odin La'atzmai, now he's making himself a master, where he's gonna have him until Yovel, or until the master dies, or until he dies, whichever is first. Therefore, you can really call him Koina Odin La'atzmai more so than you would have before.
He's staying on his own will.
Yeah. There's an interesting point that they make is, so why is it the ear's fault? I mean, on the face of it, it's his whole body that was involved in that. And the verdict is, the ear heard it, but it didn't transmit it to the rest of the body, so to speak. So then, yeah. Anyway, similarly, Rav Shimon ben Rebbe used to douse in this pasuk like a choymer, like a bundle of spices or jewels, as Rashi says, or according to the Maisa, as Tosfos says. Manishnan adelos and mezuzos and kolkelim shabayis. Why specifically the door and the doorpost are different than all other kelim in the house that you do the ritzia by them? Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is saying, delos and mezuzos show you edim in Mitzrayim. The door and the mezuzah were edim in Mitzrayim. The shoshi basachti al mashpik al shdei mezuzos. When I jumped over the doorposts and the mashpik and the two mezuzahs by Makas Bechodes by Marti Ki Liben Yisrael Avodim, I said the Jewish people will be my slaves. V'lo Avodim La Avodim V'itzaisim Ma'adras L'Chelus. So I brought them out from slavery to freedom. V'holach Zevakona Adam Atzmai. This guy is going and getting an Adin for himself. Yerotz Bifneim. He deserves to have his ear pierced in front of them. Al Derech like Yada Edim Tia Boi Barishay. Tosfos brings an interesting point from a medrash. It's also in Bala Turim on the Pasuk. The word Mautseya is Gematria 400. So it represents, as Shevet said, the Jewish people are going to be Avodim the Inner Osim Abamei Estrana, and after that, that's it. They're never going to be Avodim again. And this guy doesn't want to pay attention to that. Therefore, he deserves to have his ear pierced with a Mautseya specifically. Although we learned the other day, it doesn't have to be Mautseya, but still, that's the tool that the Pasuk mentions. Now, there's a Sikha also, when the Rebbe discusses that the vote is when we're saying that again, only a person who stole is the one who can say all this Ahavti Asadoni, etc., and get his ear pierced. When he stole, now Rashi over there on the Pasuk brings another drasha that he heard by Har Sinai, was signoid, and he went and was over it. Fine, you could say that he was over on those signoid, he was poor, he felt he didn't have a choice. Doesn't excuse what he did, but at least it like mitigates it. But now, after 6 years, he's willing to stay on as an Eved, meaning he doesn't care that everybody publicly knows that he stole. Now is the time when we impose on him the punishment for the fact that he originally was over on Lo Sigma. Okay. Now that we've talked about an Eved Ivri, let's start talking about an Eved Knani. Mishnah says, Eved Knani nikneh b'kesef b'shtar v'chazaka. An Eved Knani can be acquired in one of three ways. You pay money for him, you write a shtar, you know, if a moicha writes a shtar that I'm selling my eved to you, over chazaka, or by doing chazaka, which we're going to see soon in the Gemara, what chazaka consists of. The koinas atzma, the kesef, aydeh chedem, of shtar aydeh atzma, divra meir. As far as reacquiring himself, as far as becoming free, he can be koinah himself by money, but the money has to be provided by others. Because if he himself gets money, mashakona eved kona rabbi, so therefore he can't use it for his freedom. And Rameyer does not hold of the concept that other people can be maknet to him on condition that the master will not own it. Rameyer does not hold of that concept. Therefore, he says the only way kesef can be accomplished is somebody else giving the kesef. Over shtar, I dance, as far as the shtar, he himself could personally receive the shtar from the odin, and that works. Divrei Rameyer. Say no, the other way around. The kesef could be accomplished by himself. He could conceivably have kesef of his own, again, in the sense that somebody can give it to him, almanas that his master doesn't have. But the shtar has to be received by others because, as the Gemara is going to explain further on, he's yad eved ki yad rabba. He's not considered to have his own independent yad. So how could he receive his shtar and it would work? So it has to be somebody else has to receive the shtar on his behalf. We'll discuss that point later in the month. However, the Chum say, when we say the Kesef can be Ayyid Atzmai, doesn't mean that it starts out as his own Kesef. They agree. Vashkon Eved Kon Rabbi means somebody else could be giving him Kesef, and that works to free. So the Gemara says, Menolon, where do we know that an Eved can be acquired in these ways? The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, you will bequeath them, the Avodim Knanim, to your children after you, Loreshes Achuza, to inherit them as an Achuza, which usually an Achuza usually means an estate of real estate, yeah. So therefore, he kishin akosav was de'achuza. So the Pasuk is comparing an Eved Knani to a de'achuza. Mas de'achuza nichnem kesef v'shtar v'chazaka. Just like a de'achuza can be acquired with kesef shtar v'chazaka. Later on in the perek, we'll learn the source for that. That karka can be acquired with one of those three things. Af Eved Knani nichnem kesef v'shtar v'chazaka. So also with an Eved Knani. You're asking, by the way, about, yeah. So then the Gemara says, so if you're going to compare an Eved to a Steachosa, then you should say, Ma Steachosa, Chazeres Habaylan by Yovel, just like a Steachosa returns to its original owner in Yovel, Av Eved Kanani, Chazel Habaylan by Yovel, maybe an Eved Kanani would also return to his original master in Yovel, and the Mefarshim should point out what it would mean is, what if to begin with he sold himself, then it would mean he goes free in Yovel, maybe. Because then his master, his original master, is himself. No, therefore the Pasuk says you should work with them forever, and that means La'olam. Now Tosfos Yishanim actually points out, why don't we say that La'olam over here means to Yovel, just like it does by an Evadim. The answer is then the Pasuk could have not said anything, and we would have learned the Gzeira Shava from Steachosa. Since the Pasuk says La'olam Bahem Ta'avodu, then the Pasuk means to tell us, don't think in that sense it's like a Steachosa, rather La'olam, he means literally La'olam, he remains forever. Not just till Yovel. You mentioned, yeah, I mean, we learned in Gittin that Kol Meshacher Avdo over Be'esev, the person frees his Eved, when there's not a good reason for it, then he's over on this Esev, La'olam Bahem Ta'avodu, but nevertheless, it could work, it still is, there are cases, we learned over there that Bar Mitzvah he's allowed to, and for various purposes like that, so then you have, so you could, there are cases where he can be Meshacher. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Afba Chalifin. Another way that you can acquire an Eved is with Chalifin. Which would be either that you actually trade something else for the Eved, or that you do a Kinyan Suder. So that would work also. So the Gemara says, V'tani Didan, now why didn't does our Tana disagree with it? Why doesn't he mention that? So no, Milsa Delestim and the Talpin Katani. The Mishnah wanted to stress only the kinds of Kinyanim that don't work by Metalpin. Milsa De'isim and the Talpin and the Katani, the Mishnah did not want to mention things that also apply to Metalpin. Chalifin works by Metalpin as well, so therefore the Mishnah didn't want to bother listening. Only Kesef Shtar Chazaka, where none of those work by Metalpin, the Mishnah wants to stress us, you should know they work by Avodim, even though an Eved is physically Metalpin, nevertheless for that purpose he's considered like character. And Mephoshim discussed, in other words, the point is that the Torah is not saying by comparing him to Achuza, meaning that he's exclusively like Achuza, and no other method of Kinyan will work, it means these methods of Kinyan will also work, but so will all the methods that work by Metalpin. So the Gemara continues, Amar Shmuel, Eved Kanani nicknamed Meshicha. Another way you can acquire an Eved Kanani, says Shmuel, is by Meshicha, by pulling. Heitzad, what does that mean? Tok for your bo'etz, like, if he grabs a hold of the Eved, and so the Eved comes to him, Knoi, then the master has acquired the Eved by that. Again, Pnei Yeshua says this point, that we're not excluding the Kinyonim that work by Metalpin. We're also saying that, and in fact, so it's one thing, Chalifin works by Karka as well, but it works by Metalpin. Meshicha works only by Metalpin, and nevertheless, we're still saying that it works by an Eved as well. So, on the other hand, Kora your Ba'etzle, but on the other hand, Shmuel continues, if you just called verbally to the Eved, and then he came over, Loiknoi, then you haven't acquired the Eved with that, because the Eved is going, Midas Atzim. So the Gemara asks, so now we have to ask, why didn't Tana mention this point? Or why didn't the Tana of On Mishnah, or the Tana of this Braisa, of the Braisa, mention this point? The Shlem of the Tana Didan, it's easy to understand according to the Tana of On Mishnah, why he didn't bother mentioning this Meshicha. Because again, Milsa de Isim of the Talpli Le Katani, the lesson of the Talpli Katani, because we said already, On Mishnah is focusing only on the ones that don't work by Metalpin, whereas Meshicha works by Metalpin. Ela Latana Bora, but the Tana of the Braisa, who also mentions Chalifin, which also works by Metalpin, Nisni Meshicha, why doesn't he list Meshicha as well? And the answer is, Ki Katani Milsa de Issa, Bain B'Makalkui, Bain B'Metalpin. The Tana of the Braisa is mentioning things that work either by Karka or by Metalpin. Meshicha to B'Metalpin Ika, B'Issa B'Makalkui Lesser, but Meshicha works only by Metalpin, not by Karka. Loi Totoni, therefore the Braisa didn't want to bother mentioning it. That doesn't mean that the Braisa disagrees with Shmuel and says that it wouldn't work. It does work, but it doesn't fit into the category of the ones that the Braisa has mentioned. So in short, you have five ways of acquiring an Eved Kanani. Kesef, Shtar, Chazaka, Chalifin, or Meshicha. Okay. Now, we said Ketzad, so we said that Shmuel had said that how you acquire an Eved Kanani with Meshicha, Tokfoy, if you grab a hold of him with Bo'etzloy, and the Eved comes over, Knoi, then you acquire him. Kroy, your Bo'etzloy, like Knoi, but if you call to him verbally, and then he comes over, and then he's not koine. So the question is, why not? The koray loy, you're telling me if you call someone and then you can't accomplish mashicha that way with an animal, it does work. V'hatanya, ketzed b'mesira, we learn in a braisa. How is kinyan mesira done, which is another form of kinyan for metaltlin? Mostly it's for animals, although Gemara mentions elsewhere you can use it for boats or other things like that. Anyway, how does kinyan mesira work? For example, ochza b'talfa, if the buyer grabbed a hold of the animal by its hoof, the sa'ara, or by its hair, the ukaf shalah, or he grabbed the saddle that the animal was wearing and then and pulled on that, the shlif shalah, or he pulled a bundle of merchandise that's on the animal, the trumbia shavapia, or he held on to the bit in the animal's mouth, or the zug shavitsavara, or a bell that's hanging around its neck, kna, then he's koine by pulling on any of those, by not even pulling, mesira, means that the other guy hands him over one of these things and tells him, you go ahead and hold it. That's a kid. And that's even though he didn't move it. In other words, it's still, that's considered a kid. Ketzev of a mashicha, how do you acquire an animal by mashicha? Now, we're actually going to learn later on, a few blocks, not everybody agrees with this braisa that you could acquire an animal with mashicha. We're going to learn later on that there are some tanoim who hold you can acquire an animal only with mesira, or one of the other ways of kinyan, not with mashicha. But our braisa,
sounds like a very big thing.
We're going to see later on, and that's okay, we're going to see it's not so simple. Also, the Gemara is going to mention that there's one possibility, there might be a difference between behema gasa and behema daka, between a large animal where you can't physically lift it versus a small animal where you could, and therefore maybe you can only use kinyan agbah. We'll talk about that later on, Dr. Okay. Anyway, wait. Yeah. So, koda law, so how do you accomplish mashicha? You caught it, the hibah, and it comes. Or she kisha b'mako, or he hit it with a stick, the roth salafonav, and it ran in front of him. Kivin sha'okra, yad v'regel, he once it picked up one foreleg and one hind leg, that's considered mashicha, or kna, then he acquired it because he made it move, even if he only yelled at it. And then, fine, Rab Asi, the Amulah, Rab Acha, Omer, Ajatelech Lefonav, Molek Lemosa. They say that, no, it's not enough for it to just pick up one foreleg and one hind leg. It has to be that it actually moves its full length, meaning, in other words, that it has to completely move out of the foot space of where it was before. Fine, so they're arguing on that particular detail, but they both agree that Mashicha works only verbally, only by saying, only by calling to the animal. So therefore, why is Shmuel saying with an Eved it doesn't work? So the answer is Amri. So they answered, Behema adai to the Mora Ozla. The difference is an animal, when it goes, it doesn't have its own das, it goes based on the das of the master. Eved adai to the Nafshika Ozla, as opposed to an Eved goes on his own das, he's a Ben Das, so therefore you calling to him and coming can't be considered a kid. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Eved Katan Kebehema Dami. In that sense, then, of a minor Eved, a child Eved would be considered like a Behema in that sense, because he doesn't have Das either, and he also comes based on the other person calling. So that would work. Okay. Now, we said that Chazaka is one of the ways that works. Tanan Abanan. Peitze b'Chazaka. What does it mean to acquire an Eved with Chazaka? If the Eved takes off his master's shoe, or he carried his clothing behind him to the bathhouse, if he took off the master's clothes in the bathhouse, or he bathed him, he smeared him with oil, he scraped his skin, which they used to in those days to get rid of dead cells and whatnot. If he helped him get dressed, in Eloi, he tied his shoes for him. So all of those work. There is, by the way, Machlokas was showing him, what about, for example, the Rash balloons? If, let's say, for example, he does field work for the master, that wouldn't be considered chazaka. It has to be that he does something for the master's body, like we're talking about over here. On the other hand, different other Rishonim disagree with that. The Rambam, among others, disagrees with that. The Raivad agrees with the Rashba. So you have, if he does other kinds of work, then is that considered Chazaka? Both opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, and then one more, he Gihoi, also if he lifted them up. Reb Shimon loytei chazaka gdoy lama hagba. Reb Shimon says chazaka shouldn't be stronger than hagba. Chagba koina b'chol makim, picking something up is koina everywhere. Meaning, even though there are some kinds of kinyanim like mashicha that work only in sidir rishos rabim, only in the sides of rishos rabim, or a chotzer that doesn't belong to either one of them, etc. But when it comes to hagba, hagba is always koina, even in the rishos of the seller. So therefore, Reb Shimon says hagba has to be at least as strong as chazak. So the Gemara says, my karma. What does Reb Shimon mean? The Tanakama already mentioned higbihoi. So what is Reb Shimon adding to that? So Omer Avashi, it means like this. Higbihoi hu l'raboi. If the Eved picks up the master, k'no'oi, then there's no question that the master acquires the Eved, because that's chazak. The same way as if the Eved helps him dress or undress or whatever, it's a chazaka. The same way, if the Eved picks up the master, that would be considered a chazaka as well. What happens? Higbihoi raboi loy. But if the master picks up the Eved, then loy k'noi, the Tanakhama says, he's not acquiring him by that, because that's not considered, because you can't acquire an Eved with Hagbah. It's not normal to pick up people. The Meiri gives another point also. It makes it look like you're serving him rather than the other way around. Why are you picking him up? On the other hand, then, Amar Reb Shimon, loytei chazaka gdoy lama hagbah, but Reb Shimon says, look, chazaka can't be greater than hagbah. Shagbah koinim b'chol makim. Hagbah works everywhere, so therefore, yes, it should work even by an Eved. It may not be a normal thing to do. It may look like you're serving him. But the fact is, we see that hagbah always works, so therefore it has to work by an Eved as well. Now, halacha, in fact, is like Reb Shimon, and therefore it does work. Now, so the Gemara asks, so the Gemara says, Hashta de amatik biyohu the rabbi knoi. Now that you're saying that if the Eved picks up the master, then he's koina him, so you have to ask, what, in that case, elameata, by that logic, shivcha knanis tikonib biya. Shouldn't it be possible to acquire a shivcha knanis by having relations with her? Because Rashi says she's picking him up because he's on top of her. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, I mean, she's not picking him up. He's like lowering himself on top of her. So he explains rather that, so that actually different Rishonim explain that the Tosfos HaRosh brings, in other words, the fact is she's serving him. You know, she's serving him as far as Bia. So if we're saying before that Eved serving his master should work, then we learned you're not allowed to.
But yesterday you said that she's a woman is just laying there. It's just not
right. The fact remains, though, that the Gemara is asking, at least it's considered a kind of service. So why shouldn't he be calling her like that? And we know it's not so. So the answer is, ki kaminam zemena v'zemitstar. When does it work? When the Eved is picking up the master, when the Oden benefits from it, and the Eved is having pain or discomfort from it. It's not so comfortable to pick up another person. So therefore, that's considered the fact that he's having that discomfort. Means, in other words, that what he's doing is considered a service. It's considered an avoider, and therefore we can say that makes him an eved. Hocha zenena b'zenenu. But when it comes to having relations, they both have hana. So therefore, you can't consider that to be a form of avdus. So the Gemara says, what about shaloi kedavka mai? Nu, and what if he has relations with a shaloi kedavka mai ikonema? Then what are you going to say that she doesn't have hana from? So the answer is omer of achai by abed. You mean acha. Who says that in that case they don't both have hana? Yes, the Gemara does mention in other places that bia shaloi kedarka is not considered hana. We find, for example, by Dina and Shem, by Yishkavosa, by Yaneha, where by Yaneha means he afflicted her, and Rashi says over there shaloi kedarka. Nevertheless, you could argue there's a certain amount of hana there. It's not exclusively in it. But oid, and anyway, continues Rav Achoy, mishkevei ishaksir. The fact is, the pasuk says regarding having relations the context is the pasuk is talking about a man having relations with another man, where they're both chayiv misa. But the pasuk uses the expression mishkevei isha, the lyings of a woman, lashon rabim. He kisha pasuk kedauka l'shaloi kedauka, whereby the pasuk is making without a hekish between bia kedauka and shaloi kedauka. For almost all purposes in halacha, they're considered to have the same effect. For example, when it comes to eshes ish, when it comes to a yavam with a yavama, when it comes to many other examples like that, kedauka or shaloi kedauka have the same effect, and it's considered bia. So therefore, so if you're going to say over here that bia shaloi kedauka would work, then bia kedauka would work also. And it doesn't, obviously, because there you don't have the same kind of thing that zen men of a zemek star, of the bia kedauka, they're definitely both having hana. So therefore, you can't say that that's considered the kind of the kind of thing that should be considered to require a shifra knanis on that basis, and therefore, in fact, it doesn't work.
And we don't say that it's similar to a woman being married who's kind of through...
So that's, we learned actually previously when we went through earlier in the parak about all the different ways of being koina, regular isha, the kesef, the shtar, or the bia. So we discussed over there the possibility where we mentioned that you can't be koina, shift planis with bia, or an omah hevriya for that matter. You can't be koina with bia either. And we use that as a basis for various kalvachomers to show, therefore, so we said, for example, we use that as one of the bases to show that bia will work to be koina a wife. Because we said, if kesef works to be koina and a shukha knanis, but bia doesn't, how much more so if kesef works by a regular isha, that bia should work. So it was all presupposing that bia does not work by a shukha knanis, so now we're explaining the basis of that, because that can't be considered a way of avdus, because avdus involves that you're benefiting, and the other one is having discomfort from it, whereas here you don't, both of them are benefiting. Again, you're going to say shaloi kedarka, but since the pasuk is making a hekish between them, you can't say one should work and the other will not. Necessarily, neither of them will. So it has to be kesef shtar chazaka, or we said in the Gemara, you have the other two ways as well. Chalifin or chazaka. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We'll talk about this that we said, that Shmuel had said, that an Eved Katan you can acquire just by calling to him, and he runs over to you. So we're going to continue on that topic, and then we're going to continue with more dinim about Avodim Knanim in general.
Chalitim, which is less than a
Shavuot. It'd be less than a Shavuot Prada. Yeah, Chalitim can be done. The Kali, that's less than a Shavuot Prada. Yeah.
Now, and who's being kind of this?
Yeah, we're talking about the Jewish Balabas is calling the Eved using one of these methods, yeah.
We're speaking also about the
Shiv Knanis, same thing. We're talking about an Eved Knani or Shiv Knanis. We're done now with Eved Ivri and Omar Ivri. Right. Now we're talking
Shiv Knanis,
same thing. The Balabas can acquire her with Kesef Shtar. Yeah, he's buying her in the market or whatever. So you can acquire her with Kesef Shtar or Chazaka. Could be he's buying her in the market, could be he's buying her from a fellow Yid, could be he's buying her from a Goy, whatever, doesn't really matter.
Right.
Sure, everyone.